Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Jamal Diwan with Safa Center for Research and Education. And in this short video, we're going to be covering a brief introduction to Islam. In my time as an imam, it was a question that would commonly come up. How do you introduce Islam to non-Muslims? What do you say if you're invited to a church, a school, whatever it might be? And this is something that I actually think is important for the average Muslim to be able to do. It shouldn't be only the domain of imams or religious scholars, quote unquote, or this caliber or quality of people. But rather that every level of Muslim, everyone who's from, you know, beginning in their Islam or more advanced in their understanding of Islam, all of them should be able to do this. And so what I want to do in this video is give maybe a 10-minute introduction, roughly, to how I would do that. But first things first, because it came up so often, I actually wrote a small booklet on the topic called A Brief Introduction to Islam. It's available on Amazon. And we'll put the link in the description of this video if you're interested in seeing it. It has a little bit more detail than what we'll be covering in the video. And I think that it's actually one of the few works that I was able to find that's brief enough that you can introduce Islam to a non-Muslim through it, and also palatable enough in the way that it was written. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. So how do we introduce Islam? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Islam as a religion, a good starting point for it is in the word Islam itself. So the word Islam itself, it comes from a root in the Arabic language related to peace and submission. So the idea here essentially is that this is a way of life through which an individual finds peace through submitting to God. So we follow this path of life that we're on, and in this path, in this religion that we're following, we attain peace as a result of the submission to God. But of course, Islam as a body of teachings, as a tradition of faith, is much wider than that. So usually when we talk about Islam, we talk about 6 major beliefs, articles of faith, and 5 major practices, the pillars of Islam. So let's start then with the articles of faith themselves. The number one article of faith and the most important article of faith in Islam is belief in God, which is to say that Islam is a strictly monotheistic religion. We believe that there is one God, that God has no partners, that God has no sons, that God has no intermediaries, no equals, nothing similar to Him at all. The Quran says there is nothing even close to the similitude of Him, and he is God essentially. There's no partners. Usually this doesn't require a whole lot of explanation because people understand the concept of God, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the one who controls all affairs, the one who is absolute in His might, in His power, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in His mercy, generosity, everything. He is God. The second major belief that we have in Islam is the belief of the existence of angels, which are part of the unseen, which is essentially to say that there are things that exist beyond what we recognize and what we are able to see or perceive. And part of that is angels themselves. We believe that angels are a creation separate from human beings, that were created from light, and that they do what God tells them to do. So there's 2 things to take from that in the common narrative, especially in the West. First is that that human beings do not become angels when they go to heaven, because it's a different type of creation. And number 2 is that Satan is not a fallen angel in the Muslim belief, because angels only do what God tells them to do. It's not possible for them to do otherwise. The 3rd major belief that we have in Islam is a belief in messengers. So that is to say that God, in His infinite wisdom and generosity, has sent messengers all throughout history to different peoples and different places, giving them the message of Islam, which is essentially to worship one God and to do good deeds. And we believe that every single one of those messengers came with the same core message: believe in one God, do good deeds. Believe in one God, do good deeds. So this goes from Adam to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Moses, Jesus, David, Solomon, all of these prophets that are mentioned in the Old and New Testament. Most of them we also believe in Islam, as well as many others. So there's some prophets that we know that have been mentioned in the scripture, and there are others that have not been mentioned. And some traditions in the Muslim faith say that these messengers have reached over 120,000 throughout history. So all sent to different peoples, different places, different times, but all with the same message. The 4th core article of faith is that those messengers, some of them receive scripture. Not all of them, but some of them receive scripture, and that the final scripture that was sent to these messengers was sent to Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all of God's messengers in the form of the Quran. So we believe, for example, that Abraham had scriptures, that Moses had the Torah, that David had the Psalms, and that Jesus had the gospel, and that Muhammad, peace be upon them all, had the Quran, which is the final revelation to mankind. We also believe that these messengers were given miracles and that they were protected from sin and major mistakes and flaws, which is sometimes a distinction between Islam and some things that are said about other previous prophets and different faith traditions, which is, for example, we don't believe that David was attracted to Bathsheba and then had relations with her and then got her husband killed on purpose to cover it up, and all of these different things. We don't believe that messengers are capable of that kind of stuff, that they are protected by God and that they are the greatest of people ever sent to mankind and the example that we are supposed to follow in everything that we do. So these are the messengers who were sent. Some of them, again, were sent with that scripture. We believe that these scriptures that came were divine in their origin, but that they were altered throughout history, with the exception of the Qur'an. That the Qur'an, the way that we have the Qur'an in Arabic today, is exactly the Qur'an that was revealed to Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so this is the final and overarching revelation and scripture sent to the messenger. So that's number four. Number five is a belief in the Day of Judgment, which is to say that we live in the life that we live right now. Eventually we will die. After we die, eventually we will be brought back to life. And when we are brought back to life, we will be held accountable for our deeds. The good will be rewarded for the good that they did. The bad will be susceptible to punishment for the bad that they did. And each will be going back to their Lord, who is all-knowing, all-just, and all-merciful, and that some will go to paradise and the pleasure of God, and some will go to hellfire and the displeasure of God. And the sixth article of faith is divine decree, which is to say that there are things that are outside of our control. They are destined by God to be a certain way, but that does not take away from us our ability to act with free will. So we still have free will, we still have free ability to act in our lives, and we're responsible for our actions, but we recognize that God is always present and there are things that are beyond our control. So these are the major articles of faith. You know, what do we believe in? These are the articles of faith. If someone believes in these and accepts the pillars of practice, we consider them to be a Muslim. So the major pillars of practice, then, there's five. Number one is that the declaration of faith. I believe that there is no God but God, one God, and that Muhammad was the messenger of God. This is the way that someone becomes a Muslim. If they want to accept Islam, they would just, in front of a couple witnesses, make this statement, and then that would formally cause them to be accepted as a Muslim and as part of the community of believers. It's a very simple but profound statement, because you're negating the lordship of anything other than God and then affirming that you only worship God, while at the same time affirming the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is number one. Number two is ritual prayer. Ritual prayer is something that Muslims do five times a day in particular slots of time. Each prayer takes roughly 5 to 10 minutes, and it happens in slots that are between an hour to 2 or 3 hours of time. So it's not so overwhelming. It's not difficult to work into a modern lifestyle or work schedule or so on. You just have to plan accordingly, and then you take that 5 or 10 minute break and make that prayer, wherein we have particular motions. We stand, we bow, we prostrate, all of which is going back to submitting to God and glorifying Him in His greatness and in His bounties. So this is the ritual prayer. The third pillar of Islam that we have is the zakat, or the charity. This is essentially a 2.5% charity that is given out of one's savings on a yearly basis if they reach a certain amount of wealth. And it is actually, we call it a charity, but we consider it actually the right of the poor. So it's not something you have a choice in. This is the right of the poor, and you have to give the poor their right out of that wealth. The fourth is the fasting of the month of Ramadan. So we believe that Ramadan is the holy month in Islam, and it's the month wherein the Quran was started to be revealed. And so we fast this month out of worship of God and of submission to Him, seeking God consciousness in our lives, and also in remembrance of the revelation of the Qur'an, which is the greatest gift that has ever come to humanity. The fifth and final pillar of Islam is the pillar of Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca. A person is to do this once in their lifetime, and it is a following in the footsteps and the tradition of Abraham, peace be upon him, and the story that happened with him and his family, particularly related to the sacrifice of his son, which was commanded by God, in which he went to fulfill the command of, and then God saved him from doing so and replaced the sacrifice of his son with a ram. And so this whole story of Abraham and the sacrifice of Abraham and him being the father of monotheistic religions, all of this is recognized and celebrated in the act of the Hajj, in the act of the great pilgrimage which is the fifth and final pillar of the actions of Islam. So in this breakdown, we have the major articles of faith, we have the major actions of practice on a daily basis for the Muslims, and the last element that bears mention is the process of purification of the soul, of spiritual development. That as we believe in these things and as we do these actions, we are constantly trying to purify our heart and our soul from any sort of impurities, any sort of defects, to raise to a higher and higher level in our service of our Lord and in our service to humanity and creation. And that would also then include all of the types of like major actions of good that are accepted in Islam and the major actions of bad that are looked down in Islam, which are very similar also to the other monotheistic and great world religions. So this is a basic summary of Islam. In a nutshell, this is what it is. These are the articles of faith: God, angels, messengers, scripture, day of judgment, divine decree. The pillars of practice are the declaration of faith, ritual prayer, zakat or the charity, fasting the month of Ramadan, and making the Hajj or the greater pilgrimage, and then doing all of that in a state of spiritual development and constantly, you know, concerned about purifying ourselves and coming closer to our Lord, and doing so that we can serve humanity. That's really Islam in a nutshell. And so when it comes to all of us being able to do that, we should be able to do that. Go to people, tell them what it is, have these conversations, do it. It doesn't have to be a lecture. It can be over a lunch, it can be over a dinner or some tea, or in a conversation in any sort of place. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to guide us to be able to deliver the message of His faith, and to at least be able to explain what it is that we believe in a simple and easy to understand way. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.